to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 136. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me. That's right. Dynamic duo is back together again.
Oh, where we at? We at Boomers? Oh, wait.
No, son. We in New York. So it sounds fancy, right? But the reality of life on the road and the reality of these cards is that they pack so much into it that by the time we get done working, everything's closed and we're just sitting in your hotel room drinking some frosty beverages.
Made extra frosty by the fact that I like to keep my room very cold.
Dude, it's got to be like 42 degrees in here, it's man. Not, you could literally...
The thermostat says 71, even though I don't think that's working.
I don't think that thermostat's working, bro. You could hang meat in here. There's no question about it.
Did actually see my breath here a second ago when I was blowing.
Yes! You could see your breath in the room, my friend. That is not supposed to happen. That is not normal under any circumstances.
That feels good. But this is like an exceptionally like warm day. This is like spring-like here in New York.
I'm wearing a jacket inside of your hotel room, and I'm still a little bit cold.
It's warmer outside, huh?
Oh, it's ridiculous. But we are in New York for it. UFC 217, Bisping versus St. Pierre. The blockbuster event. It's going to be a good one. And I tell you what, the press activities, including the press conference today, have got me a little bit more fired up about this than I was. I'll be honest. The main event, Michael Bisping versus George St. Pierre, from the time that it was first announced, I just wasn't feeling it. It seems like an unnecessary fight. And I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. But now I'm starting to feel it a little bit more. I'm starting to realize it is a little bit of history. I mean, it's seeing George back up there a little bit again is getting me excited. Of course, Michael Bisping's doing his thing that he always does. And then, of course, the other fights around it really got me fired up as well. So I'll be honest. I wasn't maybe looking forward to this week as much as I should have, but now I'm kind of feeling it.
Yeah, well, especially when it came to, like, the GSP and Bisping fight. That fight was announced so long ago. Mm-hmm. I think right when it first came out was right when everybody was like, I want the mega fight. I want this fight. I want that fight. And it was just like, please, can everybody stop asking for all these fights, you know? Fight in your division. Oh, hey, you want to come back? That's great. You know, we'll come back to your division. Oh, no, you want to have a super fight or you want to have a belt? You know, there was just a lot of stuff that was just like, all right, come on, guys. But now, yeah, I mean, especially like today, like you're saying, there was a ton of event stuff that's going to come out, stuff that we got embargoed that we can't even say until tomorrow, you know, the body armor announcement, all this other little stuff. It kind of drains on you. But when you look at that, the face-offs that took place today, the little press conference and seeing these guys, like every one of those fights was like electricity. I mean, the fact that, you know, Joanna got up there and actually made contact and sort of, I wouldn't call it like a punch.
It wasn't.
But it was like a little push face thing or
but
something.
We saw a picture that Jeff Batari took, who was a UFC photographer. Myself and Pear were both shooting, but it's one of those things. It happens so fast. Yeah. It just depends on what frame you got. We both didn't get it, but Jeff has, where you can actually see like the knuckles pushed inside of Rose Namajunas' lips just a little bit.
Yeah, she definitely, there was a little bit of force there, but it was like one of those place push off.
Yeah, it wasn't
sort
a punch.
It wasn't like a straight punch or anything, but still it was a little uncalled for.
It was a little uncalled for. I think, you know, Joanna is trying to sell the fight. She definitely tries to intimidate her, and I think she feels like she's mentally superior to Rose. I mean, she's mentioned it before, and of course Rose has talked about her problems with mental health, and I don't think Joanna's trying to say, you know, I think she has mental illness, which I think some people try to take it as. But I think she does feel like the stronger person, and she's trying to, you know, play that alpha female and show her, like, I can do whatever. It is funny, if you go watch that face-off, though, Joanna reaches up to take her glasses off, and Dana, like, freaks out. Like, oh, God. And he's trying to stop him from touch. So then he, like, stands up, and then she does the thing where she kisses and then her fist and then shoves it in Rose's face, and Dana totally missed it.
Yeah.
He's like, damn it.
Well, I think he expected at that point, you know, he was like, all right, yeah, she's going to play by the rules. She's not going to do it. You know, there's no reason to think that she'll do it. And you could tell he was shocked. He was a little surprised. And I think it kind of threw him off a little bit.
Well, he always says it's his one job up there to make sure they don't touch each other.
Yeah. I mean, and he does take it pretty seriously. And I think he was rattled going into the other ones. I mean, even going right into TJ and Cody, knew that was going to be fireworks.
Yep.
Like, Dana did not look like he was having a good time up there.
Nah.
You know, I mean, I think he's enjoying it. Like, when they finally walk away and he's like, whoa, that was awesome. But there's those moments where I know he's like, holy shit, you know, like, what have I got myself
into?
He
worries about it going wrong. There was a moment during the press conference, this crowd, it was that New York crowd again.
Yeah.
That New York crowd is rowdy. You know they've had a couple of frosty beverages to get ready for the night.
Yeah.
And they come in. It's a different crowd than other places. Like, and I don't know if it's just kind of an understood culture thing or what it is, because it was like this last year at 205. I mean, they yell, they scream, they get really involved in the press conferences where you don't see that. Every time T.J. Dillashaw picked up the microphone, all you could hear was, yeah, just the snake. I was like, oh, my gosh. And then you had the GSP chants and the Bisping chants. And there was actually a group of guys next to me, and this actually totally upset Dana too, and it kind of went unsaid and maybe unseen by a lot of people, because at the time, Garbrandt and Dillashaw were going back and forth, but this guy that was behind me that was very loud, and in fact, the embedded crew actually came and filmed him for a little while, and there was a group of guys that were being incredibly vocal, and they were cussing a little bit, and I think that was probably part of it, not that they were just yelling, but that they were also cussing, because the venue security staff came up on two different occasions and was like, hey, settle down a little bit, all right? Settle down a little bit. And finally, the third time, the guy came over here, and he walked over, and he was like, you, come here, come with me. And he grabbed two of the guys, two of the rowdiest, and kicked them out. Well, the whole thing was, it happened to catch Dana's eyes, because this was literally right behind me, so I could see Dana was looking straight at it, and he was like trying to figure out what was going on. And then he turned over to Joe Williams, who runs security, and he was like, you could see him mouth the words. He's like, are they kicking them out? And Joe was just kind of shrugged a little bit, and like, I guess. And they did end up kicking him out. And Dana looked, he grabbed the mic a couple times. I mean, Cody and TJ were going back and forth. And I really thought Dana was going to be like, hey, stop, don't kick him out, don't kick him out. But he never did. He never interrupted. But you could see he was like focused on it. He was kind of like, you know, he doesn't want to see fans get kicked out.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was necessarily over the line. It's something unique about being here in New York. We get that crazy crowd.
Yeah.
But I think the problem was, it wasn't just like, you're going to get knocked out. It was like, hey, you're going to get effed up. You know, and I think, you know, at that point you're saying, hey, we got kids in the building. And, you know, this is supposed to be family entertainment.
When I think, too, maybe, I mean, I think there's a – I think heckling is part of the sport. I mean, it's fun. You know, people get into it. It shows that they're engaged, you know. I think there's a right way to do it, too. I mean, if it gets to a point where, you know, there's so much action, especially those two were just spewing just gold up there, you know, it's just fun to listen to, that if something outside of it can start getting distracting, it's like, all right, guy, I know you want to say something, but, like, wait till like the time when nobody else is talking, then they can hear you better.
It's true,
you know. But if you're just going at the same time, Bisping and you're
distracting, Bisping did like directly. Yeah, he directly addressed them a couple of times.
Oh, it was perfect. Especially I love the little headband thing that I don't know where he got the one that he had.
He had to have planned ahead.
Probably
to carry
or
that up
took
there.
It off somebody or.
Yeah, he basically, if you didn't see this, he had like basically just like a white piece of ribbon almost.
Yeah,
and he tied it around his head like the way the GSP fans
like
do with
bandanas. It was awesome, but
it was good. Well, we got a lot to talk about with that, and we'll kind of break them down a little bit moving on. But we should go ahead and jump in and say, hey, first podcast in the history of the MMA Roadshow, this got sponsorship behind it.
Wow.
We had talked about it, right? We had said, hey, man, there's a possibility that we're going to move in this direction. And then the fine folks that freshly reached out to us and said, hey, we would love to work with you since you guys are accepting that now. And I'm pretty stoked about it, to be honest with you.
I'm very, very excited for it. This sort of stuff is made for us.
Mm.
I mean, guys on the road, guys that don't have time to just sit at home all the time and cook things. You know, you want something, you want to be able to just go home and grab it out of the fridge, pop it in the microwave, pop it in all the different little cooking ways that it can prepare it. And then you got a meal ready in like 3 minutes.
It's amazing. And it's all portioned out. It's, you know, they work with chefs and dietitians both. So not only does the stuff taste good, but it's good for you. That's the thing. I'm excited about this for a lot of reasons. That is exactly my life right now, that I just don't have time. I like cooking. I really do like cooking.
Yeah,
I used to work in the restaurant business. I enjoy it. But man, just having the time, especially with like all our work schedules, you know, with my son and taking him to practice and all those things when I'm home, I just end up not having time to do it. And then what do? I end up going to B-Dubs. I love my B-Dubs. I spend more money than I need to spend. I have
the wings, the greasy wings.
The greasy wings, the frosty beverages. And the next thing you know, I'm 5 or 10 pounds over my ideal weight.
My ideal weight, I'm nowhere near, 5 to 10 pounds. I was like, wait, okay.
So now we're working with the folks at Freshly.com. Listen, they've already stepped up. They said, listen, here's what you can do, okay? We're getting you guys signed up. We're shipping food to your house. My food got there today. My wife sent pictures of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go try it. So we're just getting started. We're going to go along this journey, hopefully, with our listeners. So if you want to get the Freshly meal delivery, go to the site, freshseat.com. Use the promo code ROADSHOW. All
road
one word.
Show.
ROADSHOW. All one show. Word. You do that at checkout, you get $40 off right off the top off your first two orders. Normally, it's about $10 a meal if you do the the 6-meal plan.
Yeah.
That takes it down to about $6.70 a meal. That's cheap, man.
That's not bad at
That's
all.
That's cheap. And the thing about this that I'm excited is because I used to use Blue Apron, which is a fine product as well.
Yeah.
But Blue Apron, they send it to you. You still gotta cut everything up. You gotta prep it. You gotta cook it. Not here. This is all done. It's just heat and eat, man.
Yep, no mess, no dishes. You know, you just cook it right there. And I'm with you. I love cooking, but I like the idea of being able to not have to think about what's a healthy additive that thing I should put in here. You know, they got the smart people that are much smarter than us that know how to put all that good stuff. So you know, I was looking at a bunch of the recipes and stuff online. It's lower in calories. You know, it's lower in the fat things. I mean, it's literally if you want to just try to do a whole diet thing, and I might even – my package hasn't came yet, so I'm a little bit jealous. But I'm thinking about maybe even just trying to just go hardcore.
I'm thinking about too.
And just do the Freshly thing and just see what happens. See if we start losing weight, and maybe we'll talk about it.
Have you seen our boss stand up?
Yeah.
You know, he used a similar service.
Yeah.
Didn't get hooked up by the fine folks at Freshly.
Didn't use Freshly, but we'll have to work
with him on that. But had some success. Had some success. Lost like 100 pounds over the course of a year.
Wow.
So I'm kind of stoked about this. So hopefully people kind of go along this journey with us. I think this is a great first sponsor. I should say working on another sponsorship that will be providing us free frosty beverages.
That's
so not
true.
Quite the
kind
of a dichotomy here. We got to balance this out.
So you know, Freshly.com, just to reiterate it, and the code is Roadshow. And if you forget all that, if you go to the MMA Roadshow, I'm going to put a link onto there, and it's going to have an image, and if you click on it, it should take you straight over to the folks at Freshly with the code already populated in it, so it's already ready to go for you.
Bro, they got steak peppercorn,
dude,
buffalo
got
chicken breast,
kinds of stuff.
Home style meatloaf.
I like the buffalo chicken breast, and they got the baked penne marinara.
So by next week, we'll be able to let you know how it tastes. If you want to sign
up with us.
I'm already
feeling skinny. I'm already feeling skinny.
I dropped the pounds just talking about it.
Just talking about it. So thank the folks at Freshly. And you know, this is definitely a way for you guys to take care of yourself and help take care of the MMA Roadshow.
That's right. People say, hey, how can we help you out sometimes? We've always just said, come buy us a beer somewhere. And we'll still take
that.
We'll still take that.
But if you can.
Now, here's a way you can do it as well.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, so let's talk about 217. George St. Pierre, Michael Bisping. Here's a question I have for you, Cole Coffey. I'm trying to figure it out because we know that this thing is not a sellout yet. They're still selling tickets very well. Dana White said today it's going to be the third highest gate in the history of Madison Square Garden. They already hold the number one position for UFC 205, so impressive stuff there. It's not a sellout, and I'll be honest, I think they missed the boat on the ticket prices. I mean, the cheapest ticket to get in was like $450. That, to me, is just insane. When Conor McGregor was headlining, I think people felt like, I'll pay whatever because I got to be in the building because this is the debut at Madison Square Garden. This is Conor McGregor going for UFC history. You know what I mean? I think people were like, I'll spend whatever I have to spend. This is a phenomenal car, but I don't think it feels quite like that historical, you know, first visit to Madison Square Garden. So I think they missed the boat on the ticket sales. But here's what I've been trying to figure out. Is George St. Pierre the same star that he was when he walked away 4 years ago? Because, listen, man, there were people there today in geese and headbands, and there was definitely a lot of GSP chants. I mean, but I don't know. I feel like, number one, there's a lot of fans have come along in the past 4 years that have never seen him fight.
Never seen him fight.
Never seen him fight. It's crazy to think, but that's realistic. Yeah. Never seen him fight. And he's not, for better or worse, he's not necessarily the style of fighter that seems to be the most popular in terms of how they promote themselves. You know what I mean? This seems to be the Conor McGregor era, the trash talk era. Whether you love it or hate it, those are the people that are getting attention. So I just wonder if he's going to struggle with the star power, so to speak.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, in this day and age, there's so much of this, like, WWE, you know, wrestling, pro wrestling mentality. I'm going to call these guys out and make it bigger and bolder and badder than it's ever been before, you know. And I know some people think that's a bad thing, you know. And there is some truth in that. But also, you know, it does make it exciting. Even if it's at first is a fighter sort of just hyping up a fight and just sort of, in a sense, just generating a buzz. You know, after a while, you know, if it's the same politeness, because most martial artists are super, super respective. respectable of each other. So when they do kind of amp it up a little bit and have fun with it, you immediately just like, you're a little bit more interested. Mm-hmm. You kind of have fun with it. So I get it why fighters are embracing this, because it's like, go ahead, be a kid, play around a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, now some guys go really extreme with it, but I don't think that's going away anytime soon. So, you know, a guy like GSP, which he's definitely done the part when it comes to mastering the skills and what's needed to be a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also that bigger thing that I think we're seeing now in the UFC, where fighters are mastering becoming a brand. They're masters of promoting themselves. Mm-hmm. And those that are getting the fights are the ones that are really becoming that squeaky wheel, you know, asking for what they want to say, talking all this stuff. But the thing about GSP, he was getting a little bit more, but he's still so polite. You know, and even Michael at one point, when Cody and TJ were going back and forth, Michael's like, see, that's how you do it.
That's awesome.
How you talk back, you know.
GSP, that's how you get it going.
You know, I mean, Michael, I mean, hands down, is one of the best just shit talkers in the game right now. And he's really rapid fire, back on his feet. You know, Connor's probably one of the best out there. Just does it so easily. So I think when the guys that do it, that make it look so easy, it kind of makes their opponent that doesn't do it so well look not so good. Like, GSP was giving it his good effort. I think there's something about him. I think he prides himself on the fact that he can take it on the shoulder, turn the cheek, be the bigger man.
Right.
You know, that's martial arts 101. That's the guy. He represents and literally lives that lifestyle. You know, I mean, so you almost don't want to see him change too much, because he represents something part of the sport that you want to stay there.
That's true.
You know, so I kind of want him to be GSP. I mean, if he came out and was talking all the same trash as, like, Bisping, I wouldn't say it lowers him in a level, but it kind of takes away some of that shine that made him what he is. You know, walking out there with the gi, you know, and just, you know, all the stuff that just makes you think of, like, all these traditional martial arts and things. So if he would do anything different, I think he would almost lose a little space, a little bit of respect, because now he's just a guy that's been gone for 4 years that's trying to talk trash too hard. It would almost seem like he's trying too hard.
Yeah.
You know, to make an impression, to hang with the kids.
It's true.
He's like, hey guys, I got the boombox now. I'm a cool guy too. I'm a cool guy too. Can I hang? I got new sneakers in the boombox. Can I hang out with you too?
Oh my God. Well, let's talk about the fight itself and kind of what you've seen, because, you know, it's interesting. The open workouts, I was really excited to see the open workouts, because, you know, there's been a lot of been said about, you know, how GSP looked in the promos, but those promos were filmed very early on. I mean, usually when you got to get that advanced promo like that, you're not in fight shape yet. And he did look a little bit big. He did look a little bit slow. So I was super excited to see the open workouts on Wednesday. And, you know, you called it, and you were right. You were like, dude, we're not going to see anything. And we didn't. And you're right, man. I didn't necessarily expect him to go out there and you know, show us his game plan or whatever. But I don't know. I just kind of wanted to see him move a little bit, kind of see, is he as smooth as he used to be? Is it, you know, how does his speed match up? Because I do think, you know, Michael Bisping is a much bigger man. I mean, naturally, he's a bigger man. I think on fight night, he's going to be a much bigger man. So I was kind of interested to see, and I really feel like we didn't see much of George St. Pierre. So I still feel like there's a lot of question marks, but I got to say, I'm leaning towards Michael Bisping in this fight. I pulled up the odds. Again, not that either one of us are huge wagering experts, but this fight opened at around a pick'em when it was still very early on. The early money came in on GSP, but as of late, the money that's coming in right now, the sharp money, is all coming in, it looks like, on Michael Bisping. And it looks like he was an underdog for a little while, and now it's basically a pick'em fight. And I don't know if he'll close a favorite. I guess we'll see, you know. But I think Michael Bisping's the right pick here. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to discount that size. When they just get close to each other, you know, he is just – he doesn't tower over him, but he kind of towers over him. You know, and the fact that he can go to those open workouts, he throws things hard. He throws things with bad intentions, and he still has plenty to go for the fight. You know, usually, if a guy doesn't go out there and throw stuff, it does leave a lot of questions. One guy that lately hasn't done that, and it kind of goes against the point that you would be worried, is like John Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Jones never works out practically anymore for his open workouts.
True.
And a lot of people think, like, oh, man, he's leaving some questions. And then we saw what he did to DC, you know.
Oh, never mind, he's good.
It's like, yeah, he's good. But, you know, he hadn't been gone the length of, like, what GSP is.
Yeah.
And John's the bigger dude when it comes to him in DC. So he's got a lot of things going in his case that doesn't really quite work out the same. But usually if a guy doesn't want to come in there and throw something, he's either one, being smart because he doesn't want to maybe look not as sharp and then have to have a press conference the day after and answer all those questions about his striking.
Boy, I sure watched that video where he didn't look that good.
Yeah. You know, so now at least he could just be like, oh, well, you know, it's for hanging out with the kids. I did the kids. You know, that was like a French weird
bad
guy.
Yeah, that was just like a random French fan.
Get out of here, French guy. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it does leave questions. But I'm kind of leaning definitely on the same side as you. And I know a lot of times I like to pick opposite of you.
Yeah.
Just to be the heel. But I think Michael is just – he's been in game speed a lot more recently than GSP. And yes, he's been fighting these tough son of a guns and doing really, really well. And I have no reason to believe that GSP all of a sudden from 4 years away is going to come in and be ready to go at that,
it's crazy,
that same level.
It's crazy because if let's say GSP does win, if all of a sudden like he's just nailing double legs and you're like, damn, yep, he's still GSP, like I don't think it'd be shocking, right? Like I'm not going to bet my kids' college fund on it. But I don't know. To me, it just seems like, as you said, the game speed hasn't been there. Michael's the much, much bigger man. Bisping's not going to get tired over the course of five rounds. I mean, he's got the cardio to match GSP.
Yep.
And I do think Bisping's defensive wrestling is better than most people give him credit
for,
man.
That too. I mean, he knows, he believes wholeheartedly he already knows what GSP's plan is. He's going to be looking for the signs of GSP starting to go down and try to go for the takedown. So I'm sure he's drilled plenty of times of how to just stuff that down.
Mm-hmm.
And work his strikes. And like he said, he's like, yeah, he's going to try to – I forget how he phrased it.
Jab,
like,
jab,
yeah,
double leg?
Yeah, we did the jab, jab, double leg. But he's like, you know, he's going to try to take that takedown. And he's like, I'm going to smash his face.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that's how you stop the takedown or whatever. You smash his face or something. I was just
so
like,
true.
Holy cow.
And listen, I mean, that is GSP, jab, jab, double leg.
Yeah.
I mean, our good buddy Abby Simon is working for the MacLife.com this week. He's actually doing a little bit of freelancing. He got to come over here. I was watching a video he put together for like previewing the event, basically, and he cut it perfectly because it's literally like some of the only open workout footage that they actually did. He takes that quote where Bisping says it's just going to be jab, jab, double leg, and GSP literally goes jab, jab, double leg for the B-roll. It's hilarious. I'm like, yeah, I mean, you're not being rude. That's what he does.
That's what he's doing. I mean, that's all he did in the open workout. And even then, it was like, it was kind of stiff because almost like Faraz didn't know what he was doing. I was like, so you guys not even drilling that?
I was like, what?
What are you guys doing?
He's
when
like,
you
well,
together?
You got jab, jab, double leg.
Yeah,
so
he's like, so we haven't really actually been working on it. So it's been a while since we drilled this. So
it's crazy. It's not. I'm not taking away anything from GSP. And it was, we were sitting outside Madison Square Garden today waiting to get in for the press conference. And I did think, you know what, this is going to be one of those fights where, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you're like, man, that was pretty cool that we were there for that time, that we got to see the return of George St. Pierre. You know, he fought against Michael Bisping, who has slowly become a true all-time great in the company. Somebody that I'm a huge fan of in terms of just his work ethic and, you know, what he's done for the company and promoting events and what he's accomplished. Because I feel like Michael Bisping is one of those guys who has just maximized everything that was given to him. You know, he's not, I don't think, the greatest athlete on the UFC roster or whatever, but he's just has incredible willpower, incredible work ethic, and he's accomplished a lot. So I'm leaning towards Michael Bisping in this. The one X factor that I'll throw in again is that if GSP wins, I think the only thing that would be fun about that is I bet Conor McGregor would say, I'll fight GSP, because GSP is not big, and this would be a chance for Conor McGregor to potentially win a 185-pound title, a middleweight belt, and tell me the UFC wouldn't want to make that fight if it happened. Because there's no way Conor's going to fight Michael Bisping, but I think he'd fight George St. Pierre.
I think so. I think he would. And, yeah, I like his chances. Which is sad.
It's crazy. All right, well, but before we get too Conor-centric right now, let's...
Darren Till!
A little behind the scenes there. Darren Till we did end up crossing paths with Darren Till quite by accident at Hooters.
At a fine establishment.
At one of New York's finest eateries.
I mean, there are so many places to choose in New York City, but why would you choose anywhere but Hooters?
And let's just say that after working on my Scouser for a week and also maybe having a couple of frosty beverages in me.
And lack of sleep.
And lack of sleep was definitely true. There may have been a few dad and tills thrown out there, which I don't even know what accent that's supposed to be anymore. It's supposed to be Liverpool, but
he was there.
Slowly it's morphed into like Scottish.
I guess we should say he was there at the bar, so we weren't just randomly calling out his name.
No, we were just yelling across him at the bar. We were yelling at him, and I think he was kind of enjoying it, but also like, all right, John, really enjoyed having you, good dance. Thanks for the interviews, can you shut the fuck
Dan and Till. The best part with the faces of everybody around the bar, like, what is this dude yelling? Because you did it in an accent, so it wasn't even like you were just like saying, "Hey, Darren Till." It was like Dan and Till, you know, but in like slurs, you know, Irish slurs.
It was better before the whiskey got involved, and then it got bad. All right, but that's neither here nor there. That's not either. Let's do this. Let's go back and relive what happened today between Michael Bisping, George St. Pierre. You will hear some of the pieces of the press conference where they were most involved, and you will hear Michael Bisping just doing everything he can to get under George St. Pierre's skin. And did he? I don't know.
George, obviously it's been a long time since you fought. You took some time off. I want to know what your mindset is, your feeling is right now, now that you've gone through the training camp, the fight week build up, the press, all those obligations again. Has it ignited a fire in you? Is it annoying? What's it like?
Oh yeah, I can't wait Saturday. There is no other place and moment that I want to be than where I am right now. I can't wait.
Do you feel like you see yourself a future? Is this kind of still one fight and see what happens, or do you feel like you're now fully back?
No, I'm back now. I'm here.
He's
to stay.
One and done. One and done, because he said, like the little bitch that he is, if he loses, I'm going to retire.
I'll retire him.
Fucking see, short ass. We'll see. You been lifting weights still? Drinking your protein shakes? Hey, you got a new suit again. Good for you, bro.
Mike, I'll follow up with you. You know, throughout your career, of course, you've had doubters, but if you win this fight, a lot of people say you've got to be counted among the best ever to do this. Where do you feel a win over GSP puts you?
Yeah, you just said it. One of the best. Simple as that. I've beaten all the greats. I'm going to beat this guy. George is one of the greats. I'm going to wipe him out. Saturday night, I'm going to destroy him. Wipe him out. Wipe the floor. Boo this motherfucker. This is how stupid you look with those fucking headbands. You look like a fucking idiot. Hey, George, these are your people. These are your fucking people, man. What the fuck?
Question for Bisping. Question for the champ.
Yes, champ.
Mike.
Go ahead.
Mike, over here.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, I know you've expressed that you got George figured out. You know what he is.
Yeah.
It's a jab.
Jab, jab, double leg, all day.
What if it turns out that you're wrong?
Ooh. You mean, like, he might stand southpaw? That's his big surprise. You know, you need to stop the fucking embedded filming if that's going to be your surprise. Or, like, he's going to go for leg locks. Go for fucking leg locks. I couldn't give a shit. Have you ever seen Ian Freeman versus Frank Mir going for a leg lock? He got his fucking face caved in. That will happen to George. Do whatever you want. Bring the best version to the table. I'm going to wipe him out. Simple.
So you haven't looked
at... Did you see his open workout yesterday? Jesus Christ, he's in slow motion. Now I get it, he's going slow. But did you see me? It's like I was on fucking fast forward. That'll be the fight.
Now, when you fight, you never slow down. And usually anybody you face, you'll slow them down. It's exactly the same for George when he fights opponents. They fade. And you're not going to fade. What will that mean if we get into round 3, 4, 5?
Listen, George is a very good wrestler. But you know what the best takedown in the game is? A left hook. That's how I won this fucking belt. And that's how I'm going to keep hold of this belt. Fucking slowing down. This ain't going the distance, Rob. This is not going... George, this ain't going the distance, pal. Look at that. Look at his face. Like he's got a secret. Like he knows. You don't know shit, pal. You don't know shit.
And George, is it good to be back? Is it good?
Oh yeah, I'm very excited. I mean, I don't know what to say. I wanted. That's what I wanted, and I'm gonna get it Saturday night. That's awesome. I'm happy.
You've been a victim of bullying during your childhood. Can you please talk about how martial arts?
Hey, we've all been out of that. Bullied as kids. Why the fuck you think we fight? It ain't nothing special for George. Ooh, I've got bullied as a kid. Why the fuck you think I do this? Why do you think Cody does this? I'm sure we all got bullied a little bit, but George is special.
Yeah, I never consider myself a victim, and I won't be a victim Saturday night. I'm going to beat Bisping. That's all I can say.
Michael has said some very harsh things and kind of mocked you leading up to this fight. Do you see him as the as one of the bullies that you grew up with?
He's trying to play mind game. In every interview he does, he's begging me to not wrestle him. He's begging me. Like he's
begging.
Afraid. You know, he's like, ah, stand up.
And
so he's trying mind
George,
game. I don't mind. No problem.
Begging. Terrifying.
Yeah,
what the
begging.
Fuck?
There's You're
nothing,
begging.
Look, have you looked in the mirror? There's nothing terrifying about you at all. You used to look like a history teacher. Now you look like a stockbroker. Both of those are still pussies.
He's going to be beaten by a history teacher Saturday. That's
right,
what's
well,
going to
we'll
happen.
A fucking
and a
lizard.
Last one for Michael. Michael, have you regret any of the things that you have said
leading
up to this fight?
No, not at all. Listen, George is a lizard. George is a boring bastard. George does take people down. I've only told the truth. Only told the truth. Is George a great UFC, MMA, martial artist? Yes, he is. Have I prepared accordingly to beat that guy and raise my game? Yes, I have. Thank you, George, for just making me put that nail in the coffin. Because you're good, so I raised my game. No, I don't regret shit. I regret having to speak to you, though. That's the only thing I regret today.
And Michael, can you clear up, at the beginning of this journey, you said this might be the last fight, and then you kind of took it back. Is there any chance this is your last fight on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm going to wipe George out, and then I'll beat up Robert Whittaker. I guess I got to do that. I owe it to everybody. So, boo. You're going to be crying Saturday night, pal. I feel sorry for you. If you still have a voice from all that retarded screen you're doing, you're going to be crying Saturday night.
But would you fight him in Australia?
Well, I fought in Australia 3 times. Robert Whittaker's never fought in England. You see which way I'm leaning now. Okay. But I know you just booked Perth, so we'll
all right.
See. Has anybody got any questions for George? He hasn't been here for 4 years. Or does no one give a fuck? I don't think anyone gives a fuck, George.
Well, Michael, I've got a question for you, actually. You've kind of seen George ever since this fight has been announced. Now it's fight week. Do you look at him now as a real middleweight? Do you think he's built up in size correctly?
Let's take a good look. Let's have a look. Stand up, George. Give us a twirl. Come on. Play ball. No. He's always been a little guy. He's one of the little guys. I'm one of the bigger guys. Come fight night. Shut up. Come fight night, there probably won't be much difference in weight, but he's going to slow himself down. He's been packing on the pounds. He's been working with the nutritionist. He's been taking tuna and supplements and all that shit, right? I don't take anything. That's why I've never tested positive. That's why there's nothing here with me. I do it through heart, mind, blood, sweat, and tears. You can do all the fucking push-ups, backflips, and protein shakes you want. You will never beat me in a fight.
Michael Bisping on his... podcast says you look fat. Could you answer in French? 2 questions.
No. I said he looks impregnated by aliens.
Avez-vous l'air gras et êtes-vous gras?
Et crois-moi, je suis en pleine forme.
C'est tout?
Top shape, yeah.
Et il a dit, écoutez ça, il a dit, you said this, Michael. I'll guarantee you I see more aggression out of my wife when it's Christmas shopping than when we'll be out at Madison Square Garden. There's more aggression in my wife than in George. What do you think of that, George?
We'll find out Saturday. He'll find out the hard way.
It's Christmas, man, and my wife's aggressive with it. George is never aggressive. He sat there with a grin on his face the whole time. He takes people down. My only fear is getting cuddled to death on Saturday night. That's the only thing I'm scared of, getting cuddled to death.
Bon, mais là, c'est épouvantable ce qu'il vient de dire là.
That's perfect. It's the calm before the storm. I love it. So he's got a big mouth, and he gets in argument with everybody because of the nature of who he is, of how he is, and that's how it is. If you want to waste his energy like this, that's all good, you know?
I got tons of energy.
I got one goal in mind, and that's it. I don't have no problem with that. The only thing Bisping will do well for this fight, it will be to make fire for the promotion.
Water is wet.
It will not happen. Nothing good from
him. Fire burns.
There is nothing good from him that's going to come in the fight. That's it.
Welcome back to the Main Road Show. That was Michael Bisping and George St. Pierre going at it today at the press conference. And Cole Coffey, I think if it was kind of addressed there, but it makes sense. I mean, if Michael Bisping wins, you got to think they wanted to fight Robert Whittaker in Perth. We just had the first pay-per-view event announced for Western Australia in Perth in February. I don't know if it makes sense for Michael Bisping to make that quick of a turnaround, though. I mean, I know that he wants to, you know, he realizes that the career is coming to a close pretty soon, but, you know, I think he can get out of this. I don't want to take anything away from George St. Pierre. I think he can get away from this. It's not like you're thinking George St. Pierre is going to come, like, knock you cold, right? You know?
Yeah, he's not going to bruise him up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he'd get out of it, but I don't know that he'd want to make that quick of a turnaround. And then, of course, that would probably mean, you know, skipping the holidays with her family, and obviously he's got a big family. So I don't know if that happens. It was kind of funny for Dana White to jump in there and be like, yes, he would. He would love to go fight in Perth.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that might be some wishful thinking.
I agree. But he did kind of mention a little bit, you know, he's like, oh, you know, I know there's a fight over, you know, coming up in Perth. I know it's there. So he's already kind of setting it up a little bit. So I think he's in, you know, is in for it because I think he realized that he needs to you know, now that he's sort of on board to fight Whittaker, and he's mm-hmm. actually calling it out and saying mm-hmm. it, you know, which is kind of telling because, you know, before I'm definitely was in the boat thinking, like, if he beats GSP, he just walks away. He just goes into the sunset, you know, and calls it a day. Because what else do you need at this point? You beat Anderson. Now you beat GSP. You're the champion. Your right eye, and from all stories that we've heard, you have a hard time seeing out of it. You got to at some point – him or his team or somebody needs to be like, bro, you've done enough. Like, walk away and just.
And, you know, we were all talking
he's had a great career.
We were all talking about how bad that Romero fight would be for him just because Romero being the wrestling beast that he is. But I had a lot of people that were like, dude, Whitaker's a worse matchup for him. And the more I started thinking about it, I was like, you might be right. Like Whitaker is basically just a younger, better version of Michael Bisping.
Yeah, Whitaker you know? Will pound his face. He will do damage to his face.
Dangerous hands,
yeah.
Dude.
And that's the thing. I mean, Robert has no intention at all to take that fight down. Mm-hmm. He wants to stand, and Michael doesn't want to take the fight down, you know, mm-hmm. down to ground. He wants to stand and bang. And you don't want to stand and bang with Whittaker is what we've kind of seen recently. I mean, you know, maybe the younger, dumber Michael would do that, and I think that part of Michael's still there where he's like, oh, I think I still got another good one in me, you know, that Toby Keith, you know, I might not be as good as I once was, but I'll be good once as I ever was.
It, wow, like I threw bringing up the country music philosophy like I was going to get that.
But, you know, I'm sure they borrow that phrase from other stuff. But, I mean, you know, I could see where he wants to do it, but it's like, really, bro, after this, I mean, and he gets a nice, good, solid win. I would just go up there and say, hey, you know, I want to talk to my family, reassess, look at things and where we're at. Check the money levels, make sure we've invested and did what we need to do, and then just be happy and call it a day. Don't mm-hmm. do some damage to yourself that can, you know, eventually really start to show itself later on. We already see, you know, his eye has been affected, but, you know, we're also starting to see the, you know, guys that have had all these fights, you know, and that's what they're doing, the brain studies, to start to see where these cats, you know, are starting to show effects from all these fights. And Michael has so many fights, you know, that stuff got to start wearing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he doesn't just have these little quick knockout finish fights. I mean, like, he takes some damage in these fights. I don't think he's probably going to take too much damage from GSP unless GSP starts pulling out some crazy stuff. So maybe he'll feel confident and he thinks he can go turn around and do it again, but you don't go around and turn and do it again with a guy that just decimated dudes that we didn't think could be decimated like he did. So, yeah, Whittaker is not the dude he should be calling out. I would pick another – if you want to fight again, pick another fancy money fight that better favors you, that can get you something and get you some money, and then go out. But don't take a fight that literally could probably end his career after it. And you don't want to – you know, one, you would lose the belt, and two, you might take some damage that is – going to end your career anyways.
I agree.
Go out on a high note.
It's interesting to see next step. I, you know, we always hate to retire people, and this is the highest point of Michael Bisping's career, but it would be a nice way for him to walk out if he gets the win. All right, we should say, by the way, we've upgraded our beverage selection.
Yes, we have.
We
got some hose.
We were just...
one of our favorite listeners brought us some hose.
They stopped by, brought us a hoe garden.
Yes.
Much better than the Miller Lite that we were having earlier. So we appreciate that, good sir. Thank you for
stopping by
at this late hour and hanging out. All right, let's talk about the co-main event. TJ Dillashaw looking to gain back the belt he lost. He's facing his former teammate, current champ Cody Garbrandt, in a fight that I love the fight number one, period, because it's just a phenomenal fight, man. These two dudes can bring it. I mean, this is take everything else away, and this is just awesome. You know, this is number one versus number two in the world. Amazing, amazing fight. But then you add in the fact that they hate each other. And, I mean, they literally hate each other.
Well, at least one side seems
to Cody definitely hates TJ.
Cody seems to really hate TJ.
TJ's like,
TJ seems to be like, I don't get why the animosity's there. I don't really even know this dude, you know. And, yeah, I mean, Cody seems to be, wearing it on. Like, he's taking that alpha male animosity and just channeling it and saying, like, don't worry, guys. I'll take this one. He's like, we hate you. We hate you so much, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, yeah, it's been a while since we've seen some guys really come in there that really just want to punch the hell out of each other, like we're going to see with these two.
It's interesting because, I mean, Cody Garbrandt, the fight that he had against Dominick Cruz was unquestionably one of the best performances I've ever seen in a fight. I mean, to do what he did, to look as good as he did, I mean, he's out there showboating on Dominick Cruz, who's one of the best to ever do it. I mean, that was phenomenal. And to know that he's capable of that, he's had to battle through some injuries since that fight.
Yeah.
But by all accounts, he's back to full strength and was, you know, didn't want to rush back. Did the wise thing. He said, give me more time. Yeah. Let me get everything fixed. He's back to full strength now. But I do wonder if the emotion, like, I kind of feel like it's a good thing. Like, I think Cody likes to have a little bit of edge. You know, he's one of those guys that's a fighter, not an athlete. You know what I mean? I think he wants to be pissed off at the guy on the other side of the cage. Like, I get the sense that he enjoys that. But, you know, you do wonder if it's going to cloud your judgment, especially when, you know, TJ does seem to be playing it off okay, where he's like, I don't hate the guy.
I'm not
I don't know
too
why
bothered
he hates me
by
so
it.
Much.
Yeah.
And TJ, I mean, TJ is another kind of version of Dominick Cruz. I mean, that's the comparison we always used to make. Cody Garbrandt coming off the performance that he had against Dominick can't do the same thing as TJ. There's a lot of interesting storylines here, man. But overall, I just think this is a phenomenal fight. I just wonder, you know, will the emotion cloud things for Cody or will it make him better?
Yeah, and I wonder if TJ really is as separated from his emotions as he seems. And right now he's like, you know, I don't get it, whatever. You know, I just want it to be done. You know, he's playing it very calm and cool. Like, you can tell he's getting upset about it. You know, how can you not with a guy just coming at you nonstop and a whole team, you know, these multiple people. And you could tell in the barbs that they were throwing back and forth, like it was getting under his skin, you know. So but he's still trying to act like, no, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I got to think when it finally gets in their opposite, that maybe we'll see if that's true or not, because there's going to be no hiding it, you know, if he's a little bit jittery, if he's going to come out there over anticipating, a little too excited, maybe throw something that he can't, you know. When you watch the two, like, they're facing off today, you almost expect that they're just going to run straight into each other.
I think Cody basically
and
was.
Just go at it, you know, headbutt each other if they could, you know. But, you know, I think it'd probably be smart if TJ, you know, can kind of keep himself away a little bit, you know, let Cody try to bring it to him, try to do those little counter things. But you're right. I think TJ, when he was trying to, you know, not maybe trying, whatever, but was sort of emulating or had a style sort of like Dom, then it seemed like that kind of way went away because it was working. It worked with Hennen, but then it kind of was just kind of not quite as much as it was. I don't know if it finally, just after he lost, just thought, like, maybe just go back to what it works, you know. But Cody's style, man, he's still swinging it good. For him to do what he did to Dom, you know, like we talked about before, I was like a nervous wreck watching it. You know, he's a Buckeye, so I was like, I want the Buckeye to win. You know, but when he was just showboating, I'm like, dude, you're going to get caught. You're going to get caught. You're getting too cocky. He's going to fucking get on his feet and knock you out. I'm like, please don't be that guy that loses the fight after clearly dominating it, you know. So it should be interesting, but, you know, it goes both ways. I hope TJ is as confident as he really is and doesn't have too much under his skin that he's going to be going in there a little bit gun-shy because Cody maybe already won the mental war.
Mm-hmm.
But also on Cody, I don't want Cody to come running in there thinking he's already dominated the guy, he's already beat the guy. Play it smart. Even with Dom, he didn't rush in there.
Right.
You know, there was kind of that little feeling out process, and I hope that happens again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want either one of these guys to really make that mess up, you know, pull a Kat Zingano or something where all of a sudden, you know, you get so into it and you make a mistake and then you're just done.
And then it's over.
And then you're sitting in a corner like, why did I do that? Why did I do that?
So true.
I want them to really just go in there. And even if that whole first round is just feeling each other out, but if that gives me five rounds of rock 'em, sock 'em action because they play it the right way and nobody gets caught too early by doing something stupid, I would almost rather that than one guy go out there and just get a good couple shots and end it in 1 minute. Because as much as this has been going, I want to see some violence from these two.
I think we're going to see it. You know, we talk about the open workouts and that sort of thing. I mean, TJ came in and put in some work, no question about it. He did. Yeah. He was high energy, like you would expect to be. You know, he was in a good mood. But Cody Garbrandt, and I feel like every time he shows up and does an open workout, you just get reminded of like that next level tier that he's on with his hand speed.
His hands are so fast.
Off the charts. It's off the charts.
So fast. It was ridiculous. There was a couple points where it was just like he was just like I'm looking through the lens and you see the bop, bop, bop. And you're like, wait, how many did he throw right there? You know, it's like it became a blur. You know, that's some like Bruce Lee stuff you see from the movies where he's doing like the whatever. He's waving his hands and all of a sudden you're seeing multiple hands going through. TJ is so... Cody is so quick with his hands. He looked so impressive. He does. He that's one thing I'm grateful that he has that same ethnic work ethic that's got him to where he is, because you can tell, because every time you see him, his hands look faster. He looks stronger. I mean, I know he's happy, you know, and that's a good thing too. He's enjoying it. I guess that's a better phrase. He looks like he's enjoying every bit of what's going on right now in his career. The training, the team that he's got going for him. He's got the right matchup that he's been working for. And even said today, I mean, I think DJ is still right there on his head.
He said, I'm going to go down to 125.
I think I'm going to go to DJ.
There was
after this.
So much yelling and back and forth and volume. Again, the crowd was yelling. So I think that it kind of got buried almost.
It did get buried.
He said, I'm going to win this, and I'm going to go down to 125 and beat Mighty Mouse and prove that I'm the best pound for pound in the world. It's like,
I love that.
Wow.
He's in such a good spot right now. He's having a lot of fun.
If he can do that, I love that, because I've said it all along. I don't like the thought of Demetrius Johnson having to go up. I think Demetrius Johnson is primed at 125 pounds. That's the reason we have weight classes. He is amazing at 125 pounds.
You want his belt, you go down to his
belt. You don't make him come up to you first. I mean, I don't like that. I love the idea of Cody Garbrandt going down. I am picking Cody Garbrandt in this fight. I do think it's going to be a phenomenal fight. I think I'm looking forward to this as much as any fight on the card. I mean, I think, again, it's a true number one versus number two. It's the hand speed of Cody Garbrandt versus the overall movement of TJ Dillashaw. I mean, he's a hard target to hit. You know, TJ Dillashaw has good wrestling, but Cody Garbrandt has good defensive wrestling as well. I mean,
TJ does have power in his hands as well. I mean, like, he's got power. I think we forget that a lot of times. You know, I think people, they look at Cody and like, whoa, Cody's got this power. TJ's got some power as well.
Let's talk about the footage that was posted. So we've been hearing about this forever, right? I mean, that's all we've been hearing about is that I have footage.
Yep.
You know, Cody Garbrandt, I knocked you out, I knocked you out, TJ Dillashaw, in sparring, and, you know, we have the footage to prove it, but nobody ever posted it, nobody ever said anything. So it doesn't exist. So finally, I guess Cody has gotten so annoyed and so mad that tonight, or he just realized that the best time to post this is the week that you're trying to sell a pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was an emotional decision or a smart business decision, you know, when you're trying
maybe
to hype
a
fight.
Of both.
Maybe a little bit of both. But I got to say, it doesn't look like a knockout to me. It definitely looks like a clean right hand, flash knockdown, boom. TJ definitely gets sit down.
Yeah.
And then he starts to get up.
It looks like he's starting to get up.
It looks like he starts to get up. And I should say, if you know, he posted this on Instagram. We actually did a post as well on MMA Junkie. Steve Morocco reached out to TJ Dillashaw just for comment, and TJ did say, tell him to keep playing it, because it cuts off.
That's the thing.
Pretty quick.
It cuts off really quick.
And this isn't Vine, right? It's Instagram. You could play longer if you wanted, right?
You could play longer. And, I mean, you know that there's more footage there. You know it. It's just so cleanly cut right there.
It looks like he's getting up.
That's why, unless KO means knocked off feet. A KOF. That's the KO that you're talking about, knocked off feet. It looks like he's clearly dropped.
Wouldn't the footage be amazing to, like, if he's literally, like, laid on his back? Like,
just
wouldn't you let that play?
Around,
and then, like, you know.
Standing
over. Yeah, you're like, whoa, what happened? Or
yeah.
I don't. you know.
I mean, just for it, I mean, one, the view is kind of obscured a little bit when he gets there, but the fact that they cut it so close, you know that the footage is there. And I agree. It leaves me wanting more. It leaves me wanting more. Just like we talked a little bit about the whole Connor and Paulie footage that came out. It just reeks of editing it how you want it to come out, you know. Like, show it. Give me 3 more seconds. Give me 4 more seconds. And if that is what it is, then just call it as it is. You knocked him off his feet. You totally knocked him on his ass, and it was a great shot.
It was.
But don't call it a knockout.
It was nice.
If
it was a nice little
really
slip, and then came back with the right hand. It was nice.
No, it was good. I mean,
but it was a knockdown. It was not a knockout.
It looked at the even at the end of it, like it looked like his right shoulder was coming up. It looked like his hand was coming up. You know, it doesn't look like his hand. And when I say his hand's coming up, it didn't look like he went down so hard his hand just bounced and came back up. Yep. It looked like he was making a movement to kind of start throwing his body.
I don't think
to
his right shoulder
up.
Ever even touched the mat.
I feel like so.
He's like, you know.
Show me 3 more seconds and we'll see. Maybe he's on the ground. But, yeah, it does leave a little bit to the imagination. But it's great that it came out, but you're right.
I do love it, though. I've been
waiting definitely, to see it. It definitely seems like this is the perfect time. But as Dana's been sounding, man, like I assume numbers – maybe pre-order numbers are already good. He thinks we're already going to do good with the box office. It's already slated to be like the
third biggest.
The number three. Mm-hmm. So I assume pay-per-views. I mean, look at the cards. Those 3 title fights have to be trending, I would think, decently well for pre-orders. So, I mean, unless it's not and he feels and they're like, hey, can you nudge it in any way? I think what they did at the presser today was enough of a nudge that you wouldn't need to even put that footage out. I think it was maybe more of an emotional one where he's just like, all right, I'm tired of it. Let me just shut you up. But it also, since it came out now, it kind of feels like, oh, did you finally get that edit done? I know I've been bugging you about that edit. Did you get that edit done? I know you've been working on that piece.
Finally got it.
You finally got it
at the right
because
part.
If it's raw and it's just the footage, you know, you've hated and you've said every vile thing about this dude. Did you really care to not let it out like you were trying to save grace or save his face? I just didn't really want to hurt his feelings. I'm like, bro, you grabbed his throat in the taping of Tough. Like,
so gangster.
Everything's already out there. Like, you know, just put it out there.
I know it's terrible to grab somebody's throat like that, but I think
dude,
that,
it looked,
it's
it was
one
hard
thing to just
hell.
Talk. You see 2 guys go, you know, and then, what am I going to do about it? This is what I'm going to do about it.
It was straight gangster. I admit, I love it. Not that, you know, we want to see everybody do that. And
no, you don't. But
keep it legit in the cage or whatever, but, dude, it was a moment of raw just passion where he's just like, I just want to rip your throat out. And that's why, I mean, like, it's hard to not think that he might get too over engaged in this,
know.
You know, with his emotions.
I think if there's going to be a downfall, it's going to be a mental downfall like that because physically, Cody Garbrandt has all the tools, man. There's no question about it. But yeah, what if he overcommits to something? What if, you know, where he's taking chances that he doesn't need to take or trying to load up on shots where he could have just sat down and, you know, you never know. Yep. You never know. So we'll see. All right. Well, listen, let's revisit some of that back and forth from today because it was pretty strong. It was pretty epic. Cody did kind of get his words mixed up a little bit when he said that TJ Dillashaw was the one that showed everybody at Team Alpha Male how to use steroids. I don't know if that came out the way you meant for it to come out.
I don't know either, but I was like, so are you admitting Team Alpha takes
right? And
steroids?
I don't think they are. But that didn't sound right.
It didn't sound right.
It didn't sound right
at all.
I don't know.
Maybe you guys will think differently, but that's what it sounded like to me.
Hear it play out.
For Cody, if I could. Cody, big, big fight here for a lot of reasons. Of course, there's the rivalry between you two, but this is 2 of the best bantamweights in the world. So I wonder, how are you looking at this fight? I mean, is it a chance just to show the world that, yes, I'm number one? Or is the importance of the rivalry and silencing, you know, this rivalry important to you?
This fight's important to me to showcase that I am the best pound for pound bantamweight in the world, and then after this fight, I'll go down and fight Demetrius Johnson to solidify that I'm the pound-for-pound best in the world.
Thanks, Cody. And I'll just ask you, TJ, I mean, for you as well, is this more about that belt that's sitting on the other table right now, or, you know, is this just the rivalry?
He just needs the money. That's why he's here. He wanted to fight Mighty Mouse. That's why. He's a money fight.
You know, it's definitely about the belt to prove that it was mine the whole time. You know, I don't understand the animosity coming from them. You know, it's a little bit ridiculous. Do I need to hold his hand and tuck him in at night? Why is he so mad?
You're a fucking liar
and
you're a cheap shotter.
You know what I mean?
You heard from the horse.
I'm not your daddy. Uriah's your daddy.
Cheap-shotting.
Let him tuck you in. He'll be there to hold your hand, baby. He'll be there to hold your hand.
Yeah. He'll be there.
So to answer your question is, yes, that belt is mine.
And I guess, I mean, do you feel like there's any way, win or lose, that they could bury the hatchet between you two anyway? I mean, it seems
there's never been
right
any
now.
Drama on my side, as you can tell. There's never been anything coming from me.
Except for lies. Habitual liar over there. He just lies on top of lies.
Who's the ones that are making up stories over here? So
rumors. Horse's mouth. You do not need TJ or Chris in the back of the head. Exactly. You're a cheap shot and bastard. You're a
I did
cheater.
Not.
You did not. Okay.
Relax. Calm the fuck down.
And a question for TJ. You've accused Team Alpha Male and Cody of a lot of lies during this the build-up for this fight. What in particular have they lied about in your eyes?
Just everything. Just the way they handle themselves and just just everything that they want to bring up. You know what I mean? It's all mental warfare. It's all things to get...
Man, we're tired of hearing this guy's lies.
Yep.
Question for Cody.
How many beers you guys had? Are you intoxicated?
Cody, I'm just wondering, last week, Michael said a few things about you and your eyebrows. I'm wondering if you said anything to him as you sat next to him.
Always a shit stirrer, Ariel. Always.
No, man, he just likes that I'm a good-looking dude. I think he's got a little infatuation with me, but it's all good.
Yeah, I like little guys,
Yeah. Just
like George.
Yeah. And just for TJ... Just wanted to ask you about what Chris Holdsworth said on Monday.
It's all happened at the perfect time. You know, when it came out, the week of the fight. Like, come on, man. This is all super predictable.
Predictable. Right.
No truth to it?
None whatsoever.
There's truth to it. Just like I don't have a knock, and then like I knocked him out and don't have a video
don't.
Of it.
It's already,
I don't.
Been, it's already been, yeah. Release
I do
that
have
shit
it, but
then.
I'm not,
yeah.
You know that.
Bring
you
it.
How many times did I fuck you up in practice?
Zero, motherfucker.
Exactly.
We're going to find
and
out.
Saturday, you're going to find out.
You can talk all you want, show your insecurity, show who you really are. We're
going to
get out there. I'm going to have a
dude,
smile
I had
on my
you
face.
In your own
I'm
locker.
I'm going to break your ass.
Yeah, I had you in your own locker room, me and you together. Ready to fist
well, how about
up,
when you went home
you
crying?
The fuck down.
How about when you went home
I
crying
never
and left
tried
practice?
You. Never cried.
You're ready for
how many times did Holdsworth make you
and
cry?
And you're not ready.
How many times did Dwayne
fuck
Ludwig
you.
Come up to Chris Holdsworth and say, "Hey, Grasshopper, take it easy on TJ today"?
How many times
today?
You quit
He's
practice?
Got a championship fight yeah. coming up.
How many times you quit practice, motherfucker?
Never quit practice.
All the fucking time.
I'm gonna make you quit.
Yeah,
you have
exactly.
no. You can do all the conditioning in the world with your new coach. You can't condition that fucking chin of yours.
See, that's how you do it, George. That's called a back and forth.
Cody, straight down in front here. One of the accusations made at TJ was the fact that he'd taken some special supplements.
Oh, yeah, the guy's on everything.
Yeah.
He's on everything.
TJ?
Yeah, I'm on everything. Come and they test me every day, so come on, I'm on everything.
Funny, you're the one that showed everyone how to do it on Team Alpha Male.
So, yeah, I'm the one that's
right,
now
look,
bringing
look
it
him.
In. Yeah.
Look at him. He has nothing to say.
For Cody, there was some confusion this week about the Team Alpha Male coaching situation. Justin's no longer the head coach, I guess he said. Can you clarify what's going on there, and has it been any kind of distraction for you leading into this fight?
Hey, no distraction at all. They're all here. I got the dream team. You know, that's what we were able to do. I went from unranked to world champion in the same calendar year with that team, and we're here today, and we're going to retain the title on Saturday.
Right here. Obviously, there's a lot of bad blood between yourself and TJ. It's been going on for a while. How do you put that to one side for the fight and make sure that you go in there as you normally do?
As you see in the Dominic Cruz fight and all my fights, I fight with controlled emotion. That's passion. That's just how I fight, and that'll be no different this Saturday.
And same question for you, TJ.
I've never had any bad emotion with this. You know what I mean? I'm my mind's been set on this goal since the day I lost it. You know what I mean? So I'm climbing up and
exactly.
getting better.
Exactly. Since the day he lost it to
I'm
a
traveling,
guy.
Traveling, I'm working with new coaches.
I'm embarrassed.
You know, I'm training with new coaches, getting the best I possibly can. I'm expanding my horizon in MMA, being a martial artist, and just continuing to grow, man.
And then Cody, obviously, this fight, it's going to be wild. I'm so stoked. I wish it was happening right now in a couple hours from now. The familiarity between you and TJ, do you think that's detrimental, or is that helpful to you that you guys know each other so well?
That's right. I came out there at 1-0. I was a kid, and it was just... With a dream. He was at his pinnacle of reach. He was an interim champion at the time. He gave me the supreme confidence to chase this goal that I knew I was going to be a world champion working with this fool. So I'm supreme confidence going in there Saturday that I'm going to knock his ass out early in the fight.
And TJ, because you guys do know each other so well, does it come down kind of picking off that one, emotions? It's about keeping emotions in line.
Oh, man, my emotions are always in line. You know, it's something I've had to learn how to control, though. You know, something I have had to do, you know, but that's no...
Exactly. He had to learn how to control it after he injured his training partners.
I'm always learning, brother. I'm always learning. Always getting better.
Welcome back to the MMA Road Show. Cody Garbrandt, TJ Dillashaw going at it. At least Cody Garbrandt going at it hard, man. He's not happy. He's not going to be a man to just want to enjoy yourself and get in there. He's angry. He's angry.
Just a little bit angry.
I tell you what, we got a lot left to talk about UFC 217, but I did want to mention we can't really say much about it, but let's just drop a little whatever. We got to see the reveal of EA UFC 3.
Yeah. Yartatar.
We don't really get to talk much about it, which is crazy, because literally the embargo is in like a few hours, but we're going to get this thing posted online and we could get in trouble.
Oh, that's true. Ah, motherfuckers.
I know, right? We got to see the cover athlete. We got to see the cover that they
have
planned.
Let's reveal it. Everybody just, can you keep a secret?
Until noon Eastern?
Until noon. No, we won't do that.
Can't do that.
Even though I trust every one of you.
All right, but let's say this. First of all, we did play it a little bit. Neither one of us are huge gamers.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It's the best.
Gameplay has gotten so good.
Way better than the other one. So yeah. By far the best in the series. Like, it looks visually, it's awesome.
Yeah.
The trailer that comes out in the morning that you'll see it again just a few hours from now is awesome.
Yeah, just watch it once.
Watch it once, yes.
You start watching it two or more times, you start picking it apart. Don't do it.
But it was pretty cool. Just watch it once. It's amazing. They made us watch it twice, and then like the second time,
we started judging it.
There was a mistake there. But it looked good. But it looked awesome. The gameplay was fun, man. I really did enjoy it. And I'm not going to say who, but I saw two people who weren't supposed to be playing knockout mode because they said just play now. But
who would those be?
I ran across two people. I'm not going to say who they are. It just wouldn't be right. These are trusted sources, and two people were playing knockout mode, and it was a Snoopcast commentary.
It was Snoop Dogg. He was like, "You're in knockout mode, fool."
So I don't know if they're going to keep that, because again, this is not the final build. It doesn't come out till February.
Yeah.
So we may have like run across something that they're going to scrap that we're not even supposed to know about.
And I think that person very much enjoyed.
Oh, when I say
it.
We, I mean me and the two
that,
other
these
people.
Random people. I would never go to that mode that you had to go out in a couple
when
menus
you were
over
specifically
when you were told not to go to the knockout mode. But dude, the gameplay is amazing. Like, we went to specific fighters just to see kind of the movements and stuff. So I pulled up Clay Guida,
right?
Because they really talked about how, I mean, and we talked about too. Like, I'd played the UFC 2, and like the gameplay was just shoddy. Mm-hmm. Like the ground system, I couldn't get it figured out. I thought I was just not doing it right, so I got very frustrated and just kind of stopped playing the game. But, you know, so I pulled up Clay Guida because Guida's so erratic. And part of this system, doing the defense, like the right joystick, really kind of makes you move and bob and weave and kind of mm-hmm. pull back and help you miss shots. And when you do that and you move it around like you think Clay would do, the movement is so smooth
it's
that
cool.
I literally was like, dude, look at this. I was like, how good does it look? I mean, they really, they seem to be really open to the feedback and really address what people say. So I know all you guys out there that play the UFC 2 and really were like, hey, change this. It seems like they listen.
Dude, the amount of research that they had where they were like, you know, we found out that 40% of fights never even go to the ground or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it was amazing. Like, they had data.
Yeah.
They had obviously, like, taken the time to learn about it. And it's just, again, I'm not a huge gamer.
Yeah.
But I got to say, this is by far the best version.
Dude, I would play nothing but the knockout mode just to listen.
If
I was that person that happened.
Assuming it. I mean, you don't even know what the knockout mode's going to look like at this point.
I don't even know.
So how could you – I mean, you're just relying on me saying that I saw something.
From what I heard from you talking commentary.
If you knew, you might want to play the knockout mode. It was pretty fun because you think it's the kind of game that you would just – like the knockout mode is like you and your boy having a frosty beverage or two, talking trash to each other, maybe doing things like – putting Derek Lewis against Francis Ngannou and seeing what happens. That? You know, just as an example of things that could be done.
Could have happened.
If you were actually playing knockout mode.
If you were playing.
And then you add on top of that that you're already kind of talking smack because there's no takedowns. Like, yeah. Leg kicks don't do any power. Jabs don't do any power. So it's literally just like landing big shots. And you're talking trash, and then you got Snoop in there going, like, that's two shots and a biscuit, or whatever. You know what I mean? It was just,
I mean,
it was good.
It was worth the price of admission right there, just for that thing.
It is
impressive. It's exciting to see it kind of come out because now it's kind of reinvigorated it. We weren't quite as excited as some of the other gamers that were there.
Oh my God.
I didn't realize, but the person that was there was like a local DJ,
and
he's all about like tech stuff and like games.
Yeah.
This dude, it was like he just found out about Christmas for the very first time. He was like, this is the greatest thing ever. He was like, thank you so much. I guess if I lived in that world, I probably would because
he's literally hugging the game developer.
Hugging the game developer. But literally, the switch from UFC 2 to 3
is big.
It's huge.
It's big. In fact, they even had UFC 2 up.
So
and they were like,
dude,
if you want to, like, if you never played UFC 2 that much.
Yeah.
Or you never played at all. He's like, we encourage you to go back and play 2 and see how much difference.
Yeah.
And it's funny, dude, like the career mode.
Well, that was insane. I was going to touch on the career mode is different. Like now they said that they realized that they weren't setting up goals right. So they set up some goals. You know, if it wanted to be about social and building, part of that was you had to build your social presence. So they built in this whole social presence where you can send out these tweets. You put out tweets and it gives you options. And then you have rivals that'll come out and your rivals are tweeting.
And how do you want to respond to
them?
Do you want to be cool or do you want to be fired?
Yeah, but they had like, I don't know if it was like the GOAT mode was one of the modes or something, but they were talking about that in the legacy. Like, you know, they were just talking about how all these other factors that you could build into it. So if you are the kind that just wants to go into career mode and play it, which is like the equivalent of if you play a game that's like multiplayer, you're playing the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to just go into career mode and build your player, and they changed up the ultimate team, which before was only fighters that you created yourself.
Right.
Now you can actually have your own fighters, but if you save up enough of the game money within the game, you could buy fighters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could buy Alistair Overeem if you wanted. You could buy Cain Velasquez or something, which I thought was pretty darn cool.
What I thought was cool was the career mode that, again, I'm not a huge gamer, but to me it was fun. Like, so not only do you have to like train and get better, but then you also have to like hype your career, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So again, that whole interaction, like the social mode, and it was like, you know, it basically gives you like, there's a lot of fan interest in this fight. There's not a lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you got to like kind of sell the fight a little bit, and then by that, you get different contracts from the UFC, and like you get paid more. And I was like, this is, it's kind of cool, but cap that all off by the fact that you just say, the game looks amazing, man.
Yeah.
The improvements that they've made in animation looked incredible. And as you said, the gameplay, man, itself, it was fluid, man. It was fun.
Yep. And I like the chemistry. There's a chemistry thing. I'm not quite sure if that was there before, but a lot of times you would be able to, in the 2 version, you would pick moves that you could get a certain way, and you would just assign them to your player. But this way, what they have with this chemistry system that it has a series of 3 dots, and the dots will fill up if it's better or just mediocre form. So say if you want to use this whatever right hook on this particular fighter, if you put it in and it's maybe not his typical style, it'll give you 1 dot.
Mm-hmm.
But if say if this is a move that this guy's employed a lot of times in his career and these guys have done the numbers, they do the research, it might give him 2 or 3. So when you're building your character, it's kind of like going through and looking and finding the best thing. So when you stack your character, you're stacking
so
the chemistry.
I'm not like a gamer, but it's like if you're playing as a wizard or playing as an
man,
ogre, like, you got to have like different.
Yeah, like if you were like an ogre, you got like the smash card because a smash works better than a magic casting cards because ogres can't cast magic. They might be resistant to magic, but they don't cast the magic. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
it's
the fireball
so
spell wouldn't work as well.
It's so clear.
If an ogre had it.
Anyway, I think it comes out in February. Is when the day was February, right?
I think so.
But it looks awesome, man. We really enjoyed it. Like I said, it's been a busy day, but I did want to slip that in there.
No,
I wish we could break the news right now of what it is. I mean, we're literally talking about mere hours until this news is released.
I so want to tease it in different ways, but I know it would give it
away.
Oh,
dude, we just get in trouble.
Get in trouble and stuff.
Fired.
I did find out that I have EA Access, which you can actually usually get a bunch of free games from E-Access, but they typically wait 6 months or so before they move it. Like, the only reason I have UFC 2 on my home computer is because I have the EA Access. So if you have EA Access, don't think that you're going to be able to get it right away on your subscription account.
Right.
You will be able to qualify for a discount for it, but you probably won't see it on the system available for download for at least 6 months. So if you're the kind of guy that can't wait for it, go out and buy it, because it's absolutely it's so much better than
shoulders.
Two.
Did you see the one?
So much better.
Did you see the one shining flaw that was just so apparent that they? I can't believe
in the promo.
Just in the as you were playing in or watching people play, did you notice the one
maybe in a
massive issue that that they better get addressed before the release?
What was that?
Did you see Darren Till anywhere in there?
There was no Darren
Till. Darren Till.
Jesus. They got to fix that.
I bet they fix that.
They
got to
fix that. Well, somebody actually
they did tell
that
us they were like, this is not, they said, look, this is not the final build.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You know, because they did address that, you know, it's pretty much the same amount of roster, but they said they were addressing a lot of time, and he brought up the number of the top 15.
Yeah, he said they really focus on the top 15 because that's what
the top 15. So, like, if guys want to, unless they're, he did say though, unless they're the select up and comers, you know, which I think Darren Till definitely falls in there. So, I guess that's probably if you go in there thinking you're going to find your favorite fighter, depending on what he's done, if they're not in the top 15 for him or her.
Yep.
They might not be in the game.
All right, let's talk about Yelena Jacek versus Rose Namajunas. I'm definitely excited for this fight, man. What a contrast.
Rose Namajunas? Doesn't have the same ring as Darren Till.
What a contrast in styles today. I mean, contrast in styles all week. You know, it's weird because Rose is Thug Rose, but yet she's also just kind of the
quiet
mean mugger.
Thug.
Yeah.
She's the soft thug.
She's the soft thug.
She's the quiet thug.
She does. She is. And I feel like Joanna is taking her, you know, kind of, I don't want to say trash talk, but just her confidence, her bravado, her swagger. She's taking it to a different level. It's always been there.
Yeah.
But it's getting higher and higher. But I will say this. At the open workouts, I think she got the biggest pop of anybody there. And that includes Michael Bisping and George St. Pierre. I think when you look, you gauge the crowd reaction, I think the volume level, the interaction, I'm telling you, it was as strong as anybody else in the day.
Same for today at the presser.
Yes.
She got the biggest pop, you know. I mean, there were the people that were definitely like, oh, GSP, yeah, yeah, whatever. But Joanna, I mean, and it's – I love it. She kind of gets that little – she wants to stay straight-faced, but, you know, she loves it when people say that, you know, and she kind of gets that little – you just get ready for that cute little wink that she does. Like, I see y'all out there, you know, wink, wink, or whatever. But, I mean, they just love her. I think it's hard not love her. The fact that she actually – you can tell that she works her butt off before she goes out there. And when she goes out there to do the open workout, she works her butt off. And then she was one of the only ones as well that made a point that people were like, can you come here, Joanna? She did. And, like, she wanted to interact. She started off – I'm not sure what the deal was, if the girl interacted with her online or whatever, but she's like,
she called down a fan.
She's like, is so-and-so here? And then wait. And then somebody said, she's like, I got something for you. And then she was like, hell, I'm just going to go right now and give you this thing. Gave her a shirt, I believe, and took a picture or whatever.
It's very cool. They had she had brought autograph cards, basically, autograph pictures. They passed out to people, and then she signed. I mean,
some of the cards, Steve just kind of tossed out there.
Well, yeah,
you saw that.
Well, but
she's like, can you hand these out as well? And he was just like, toss.
I didn't see that. He was standing next to me. And he was like, take these and pass them down and be nice. And you know, security Steve will kill you if you don't.
Steve will just erase your history of life. You and your family will never have existed.
Yeah.
But it was fun that Joanna took the time to actually, like, talk to people, and they were coming down, and, like, the fans, like, she loved the little girls that were there were just head over heels, just like over the moon because she took pictures with them. And then there were some other girls that were there that they were from another country or something.
Right.
They had really heavy, thick accents, but like she just across the board just resonates.
Did
with
you
people.
See they were what her name in Polish is Dasha? She goes by Dasha. Asha. That's what. So there were some Polish fans there that yelled that at her, and so it was funny because Steve was like, no more, guys, because it started to get – I mean, the swell started to get pretty strong. It started to get pretty strong. But they were yelling her Polish name. Is that just her name in Polish, basically? Like a nickname. So,
Robert and Bob.
There you go. So they were yelling at her, and she was like, you two the Polish guys, like, come here, you know what I mean?
That's awesome.
Yeah, because she's like, all right, well, they're yelling at me in my native tongue. Like, hold on, like, I know Steve's saying shut this down, but not you two Poles. Get over here,
as,
you know?
As tough as Steve is, Steve knows better than to mess with Yana.
Oh, I'm telling you. All right, so let's talk about
or
this
Asha.
Fight. Let's talk about this fight. Here's the thing. It's funny. Simon Simano actually pointed this out to me earlier. The press conference today, Yana did say one thing where she was talking about Rose. And again, I think it's that alpha female play. It's that trying to get in Rose's head a little bit, trying to play the superiority. But she said, basically, Rose, you're not ready for this. Like, you can't handle this. You can't handle the media pressure. You can't. Yep. You don't want this life.
Yep.
And it was basically, I didn't think about it at the time. I mean, at the time, it registered with me as what her strategy was. But I'd kind of forgotten that. That's what Ronda Rousey said about Holly Holm. Like, Holly Holm doesn't know. She doesn't want this life. She doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be this. And then, of course, we know what happened. I don't think the media demands and the time demands are quite the same on Joanna as they have been for Ronda. But I do think she's becoming a star. I do think she's starting to resonate a lot more. I do think that the commitments are becoming a lot more. It's weird because you're talking about two completely different fighters.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of a weird little like foreshadowing, like, uh-oh, are we talking about another major upset here?
I don't know. I think it's still maybe a more politically correct way to not go to down the line of saying, like, you think she's mentally unstable. I think she took a route where she could say, oh, she just doesn't want the pressure. You're not ready for this life. She's not saying – you're nutso. You can't handle this right now. You look like you're ready to lose your shit. You can barely keep your life together. She instead says, you're not ready for this media, the pressures of all this other stuff.
I think that's what she was
getting at,
too.
I think it's still kind of a way for her to jab at the other way, but doing it in a way which makes it seem like she's not playing on an actual mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, that's what she was doing the first time that sort of raised to stink where people were saying some things about it. But that's why I kind of took it. I was just like, oh,
that's
shit.
That's why I took it, too.
I was like, she's teasing that line. She's teasing that line very, very close. You know, mental illness is not something to joke about or to use. I mean, we talk a lot of times about lines you don't want to see fighters cross, you know, and most people draw those lines a lot of times on family, loved ones, that sort of thing. And and it came up with Michael and GSP and other ones and talk about bullying. And a lot of times in life, bullying does come down to a lot of times if there are some sort of issues that people may not see in somebody and they don't understand those issues, you know, there might be bullying and there might be, some sort of mental issue
like
of some
abusive.
Sort. Yeah, I mean, like, some people, you know, are clinically depressed and they're shy and a lot of stuff. Some people see that. They don't understand. They say, oh, this person's shy. They're not answering me. They're not talking. Must be something wrong. They must be stupid. You know, and they make rash judgments, uneducated judgments and views on something that might be going on with something. And sometimes people say something the wrong way. Just when she was starting to go into, the whole thing today – it was ringing in the back of my head. I thought she was going to say something.
Like you're really toeing the line
right
here.
Like, like if there is, in fact, something. And I guess I kind of feel bad, too, because I know a lot of times we talked about it and people even going back with Diaz when he jumped out of the window and didn't want to do the testing. You know, a lot of people at one point, you know, it's true. The dude, they smoke a lot of weed. You know, you don't want to get caught. But those guys have suffered from anxiety a lot of times of getting
so
on the mic.
Uncomfortable.
And it's really, really hard to watch sometimes. And some people, you know, make a joke about it. But if you really pay attention to what's going on, and if, in fact, I think they've gotten so much better, so I don't know if that's not an issue anymore. But, you know, anxiety and getting in front of crowds and getting in front of a large group, that's a real thing. You know, and it takes some time for people to go. So it's not something really to toy the line because that's real. You know, getting in the cage and fighting, yes, that's real and that's doing the sort of thing. But, you know, when you're putting stuff out there that, you know, can define how people will look at you, you know, talking about somebody that is possibly suffering or dealing with something that could be classified as like a mental anxiety or mental illness or a mental just problem, something they're dealing with.
It's not cool to
like just do something else. Tell her hair looks stupid. Don't talk. You know, you gotta watch those things because you know that shit. That's the little stuff that these little girls and people that are idolizing you and little boys that watch their favorite dude fighters go out there. They start picking up on that stuff, you know, and mental illness and anything along those lines, the real shit, that starts to leave a bad thing, because that's the stuff that people are going to look at the sport and like, oh, there you got a bunch of thugs. They don't care about this. Well, all they want
to
do is,
and listen,
you know,
I think Joanna was trying to bully her. I mean, when you go back to that face-off they had today, I mean, Joanna, sunglasses on, you know, starts talking to her, and I think trying to read her lips, she was basically like, you're in trouble.
What was Rose saying? I don't know if it comes off in the video.
No.
Rose was like,
I didn't even see
her lips were moving.
Oh,
she was saying
something
back. I was
focused back. On Joanna. I didn't even know she said anything back.
Go back.
I'll have to watch it.
I was like, Rose is,
because I never noticed she was talking.
Back.
I thought she was just stone faced.
She was saying something, but like,
so
she,
then,
but
so
she,
then
her
Joanna,
lips are moving just
so slightly.
Yeah.
So Joanna takes off her glasses. You know, so obviously she's again trying to that alpha female. I'm standing up in your face. Now I'm taking off my sunglasses to like and really look in your eyes. And then she did that thing where she kissed her hand and she shoved it right in Rose's face.
That's some thug shit right there.
That's thug. That's thug Joanna right there. So I don't know. It'll be interesting, because I'll tell you what. Rose is talented, man. Rose is talented, and she's a pro. I mean, I think Joanna, to me, Joanna right now, she's the number one pound-for-pound female on the planet. I know that some people may argue Cyborg, but to me, in my rankings, I have Joanna Jędrzejczyk as the number one pound-for-pound female fighter on the planet. Rose is a problem, though. She does. I mean, the exchanges, the grappling that she has, the body type that she has. So I feel like Joanna is certainly the right pick here. Certainly the right pick here. But I don't think Rose is some kind of pushover. And I feel like Rose is a future champion. You know, she's still just maybe a little bit too young. Maybe she needs to wait until, you know, it's like Joseph Benavidez or whatever. I mean, you're telling me Joseph Benavidez isn't a talented guy? Of course he is. It's just, he's just stuck fighting at the same time as Demetrius Johnson. You know what I mean? I do feel like something, you know, I'm not picking Rose, but I'm saying it's interesting to see, you know, Joanna really going out of her way to be kind of the bully because she's always had the stare now. She's always had, you know, but I feel like she's even taking it to another notch. And I don't know if that's just because there's more spotlight on her and she realizes, you know, this is how you get paychecks and this is how you get people interested. But it's interesting. It's setting her up for a little bit of a fall, and Rose is a dangerous opponent.
That's true. Excuse me. And you're right. It's so out of character, because it's not like there's anything coming from Rose's side that could bring that out of Joanna, because she's not egging her on. She's not saying anything.
She damn near fell asleep at the press conference. You know
right?
what I mean?
She's so slick and so dangerous. I think, if anything, Joanna's going to do Joanna. She's going to keep that distance and strike. And if it stays at a distance and it stays with the striking, I think Joanna's got more weapons with the kicks and with the strikes. But if it gets in close and Rose can get hands on her, man, you can see that crazy flying triangle.
You can
see the crazy submission, something come out of it. It's just, I'm not quite sure if she tries to stand and move it, that she can keep the pace.
No.
The same pace and the same effectiveness as Joanna. But you're right. Rose has surprised me and I just love her fighting style. I mean,
she's
so fun to watch. Even at workouts, everything, there's something about her that she's able to just kind of go in there and she switches to this different mode. And you almost feel like, her, there's no emotion there. Like, you can hit me, but I'm not going to feel it because I'm not physically in this body right now. The body's paying attention to what I'm telling it to do. It's going out there and devastating, but you can't hurt me because I'm locked into some little chamber.
Agree.
You know, she just goes somewhere. She goes somewhere in her head and just is just devastating. I love it.
This is a great fight. I mean, you never know. This could be the rivalry that's needed. You know, everybody thought it'd be the Claudia Gadella rivalry, which turned out to be great fights, but not really that great of a rivalry. This might be the one that turns out, because I think a lot of people want Joanna, and somebody else asked it, but I wanted to phrase it a little bit different, and she ended up addressing this. Because, you know, you look at Demetrius Johnson, his greatness, and people are like, dude, if you're really that great, you got to go up to 135. And I think Joanna's starting to get to that point, especially now that there's a 125 division. Nobody was saying, hey, you're that great, go to 135. Okay, no, that's a huge jump. But now that you got flyweight, now people are going to start saying, hey, you know, you're that great, quit dominating these people in your division, like, go up to the other division. And I'm not saying she can't. She touched on today. Maybe I will do that. Maybe I will, you know, maybe I'll defend both. But I always hate when
nobody's been allowed to defend both, though. They strip them.
They strip them, yeah.
take it.
So who knows? You know, I don't know. Not to say that she couldn't go to 125, and she's mentioned, hey, the cut's getting harder on me, you know, but, you know, I'm getting older, I'll get bigger. But, it, you know, to me, if you're a fine-tuned machine at 115, to me there's no reason you have to go to 125. But you have to find something interesting and a reason to be there, and maybe Rose can provide that. So
you should try to reach out next break because I know you and D-Dubs are besties. You should try to text him and say, hey, what was Rose saying in that face-off? Maybe we could bring that back for the next segment.
I'll find out.
If he hits you back.
I'll find out.
Because she does say something. Maybe everybody, go look into the video and watch it. It's a side view, so you don't really get a chance, but Rose was definitely whispering something.
I didn't even notice it. I'll have to check it out.
What's that?
Maybe. All right, let's talk about the rest of this main card real quick. Stephen Thompson versus Jorge Masvidal, who apparently Masvidal is trying to set up a fight with Michael Bisping at some point. They got into it. More F-bomb homophobic slurs were dropped. Just stop saying it. Take it out. I mean, we all realize you don't say the N-word, right? It's not that hard. You just don't say it.
Yeah, just drop an
Don't say the F.
Just drop a different F-bomb.
Yeah, you can say fuck all
just
you want.
Just call him a fucker.
Yeah, you can do that. Stop that shit. Stop it. But interesting. This is a great fight. I think it's a fun fight. There are some concerns. I think I was talking to Fernanda Prochus about it last week. She was saying, man, was talking to her? Who the hell was I talking to? It is two counter fighters at heart. Yeah. So, I mean, there is a potential chance that this doesn't go as great as we think it will. Because on paper, it looks like it could be phenomenal. And it could be, depending on how they come together. But Masvidal likes to move backwards. Wonder Boy, you know, against Woodley, obviously, showed that he was trying to set up a counter. And was look at that. Look at that.
I love me some Tenacious D.
I know you do. I've seen you do it at the karaoke.
I've done it on a karaoke here or there every once in a while.
But I do love this fight. I think it should be one. I did want to say, though, interesting, right? Like, Masvidal is always a fun interview because he's got an edge to him. But he was kind of on edge when we talked to him at the media day, right? Like, he was very sensitive to, like, can you turn your light down? Can you – And there's nothing wrong with that. I respect the fact that he's being honest. I'd rather him be comfortable than not.
Well,
but
I think that also, too, he's comfortable with us. I think he's done enough where I think he's like, if it was just another media outlet, he might just take it. But he was like, bro, I see you guys all over. He's like, can you maybe turn down? It gives me headaches. And I'm like, of course I'm going to do it. I'm like, is this good? I'm like, bro, I want you to be the best you in this interview. Tell me what you want to do. I wish more fighters would do it. If it's
that's
bugging
true.
You.
I was trying to figure out what to read into that. But you're right. Maybe that's the way to read into it is the fact that he just knows who me and you are. He knows that we're not going to, like, you know.
I didn't feel anything really about it because I thought he still gave a great interview. And he still, like.
Oh, he still gave a great interview.
He always goes straight into the
camera. Straight
to
the camera, right?
You know, which is funny because I look at the screen, you know, as I'm monitoring, as I'm watching. I'm like, bro, just keeps looking at me.
I know.
He's talking. So then when I was, like, talking, I'd look over just to see, like, you know, I feel like I should address him. I should look at him and, like, nod, you know, if he says something I agree with.
Yeah.
But then I could see he wasn't looking at me. Because he didn't meet my eyes, but I saw him looking straight into the barrel. You
and I do interviews together all the time, and normally what I tell people is because I'll stand off to the side. I don't know. Our style is not really like we need big on-camera presence, and this needs to be a two-shot and whatever. Yeah. I know. We're just like, dude, let's just get the fighter on camera. You know what I mean? Let's get that.
Let's get the person that matters
on camera. So what I always say is like – and obviously you've interviewed – I mean, you've taped thousands of interviews with me together. Like I just say, hey, listen, I'll tell the subject – when we're interviewing, you can look straight at me so you don't have to look at the camera. Because I know some people are uncomfortable looking at the camera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's easier to just have a conversation and forget that the camera's rolling than to be like, hey, don't look at me. I'm going to ask you questions, but make sure you're looking at the camera.
Right.
And I try to do that to make sure everybody's comfortable. But when guys know how to do that, you know, Tony Ferguson is another one that does it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When guys know how to do that, it's
Boacina.
So effective. Boacina, which we'll get to him in just a second. It's so effective because, like, you know, it's like you're delivering a message. But then you, like, turn to the audience, you know, the fourth wall, and you're, like, looking straight at the lens and giving it. And, like, it just – when you go back and watch that video, it comes off so strong, man.
Yeah,
yeah, Masvidal's wanted to do it. That's a good point. I was thinking maybe he was just, like, in an especially shitty mood or something. But you're right. Maybe
I didn't think too much about it. Like, honestly, I that's what it just felt to me. Like, there's a familiarity there. So it didn't bug me at all because it's what I would expect. Like, if we had a sit-down interview, which we've done with him before in a room – it's the same sort of thing. You have a setup, and you know, I just took it. I was just like, can you turn it down? They really do give me a headache or whatever, but I didn't think about it because if he would have gave us, like, you know, one-word answers and pulled an attitude
after,
then I'd be like, all right, he's in a bad mood.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly,
it was a great interview.
I thought it was good, yeah.
All right, Johnny Hendricks versus – I don't know. By the way, you mentioned
this – speaking of good interviews.
You mentioned this Paulo Bohachinha guy. I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Who is that?
Now, there's a guy I know named Paulo Costa? All right, this is a mistake, right? Okay, now listen. So, Paulo Bohachinha.
Yeah, depending on when you looked at the UFC website.
Right. It's now Paulo Costa. He has a new nickname, The Eraser. And I like it. You know, if you got to go watch the interview, he says that, you know, it's a new way to look. Borrachinha basically means little rubber, which doesn't sound especially manly. I mean, well, there's all kinds of jokes. Bottom line is it just doesn't sound.
Like, we're talking about rubber trees.
Right. Sound very manly. So what he was trying to say is, like, a better version of it would be like The Eraser, which, you know, is
like
a
Punisher.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And so, you know, and he said, you know, Johnny Hendricks, I will erase you.
Straight
to the camera, man, because he's got this
perfect.
Down. He's this young guy who looks like an absolute stud, and now he's embracing the promotional side of English on point, by the way.
His manager, Eric, say a Brazilian James Bond.
Bond. I mean, the guy is, you know, he's trying to – I mean, listen, the physique is ridiculous. I know a lot of people are like, but he gets tested just like everybody else.
Yeah.
It doesn't look human to me. I'm not throwing accusations out there. I'm just saying, like, oh, my God, this dude is, like, next
tier. I'm surprised
we
don't get tested more with our physiques.
Oh, yeah, you know how.
They should just.
But he gets tested. He's passing. He's doing good. The dude looks like an absolute monster. Yeah. Again,
the size difference between those two is just jarring.
I love me some Johnny Hendricks, but man, this is dangerous, dude. Johnny Hendricks has great wrestling. He's got knockout power, but this is scary for me. But I'm saying all this to say, get rid of go back to Paulo Borrachinha. You can still be The Eraser. I get it that Borrachinha is hard for Americans to say, but it's memorable. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Costa. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you're Greek now. I'm not sure what it is.
Borrachinha.
Borrachinha. You know, Costa. Go back to that. And then you could still be The Eraser.
Costa.
You could still be The Eraser.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But, dude, kudos to him. Learned English. Did the entire interview in English. Probably got, like, two little prompts from his manager, Valid Ismail. Got, like, two little prompts of, like, one thing he didn't quite understand. And he answered really good. And, you know, kudos to him for realizing that, listen, I mean, not to say that you have to learn English, but it does help. A lot of your fans do speak English. And if you can speak directly to them, I think it means a lot. All right, Johnny Hendricks, great interview. Wide open. It's kind of fun. It was, like, right at the end. So we run out of time. You know, definitely no assumption that we'd be able to get a one-on-one. So it was the Mac Life. It was us. It was MMA Fighting. We were all kind of talking to him at the same time. And he was addressing all of this. And it did scare me a little bit because he kept telling us how he's not sick because he missed weight last time because he was sick. And then he kept telling us how he wasn't sick.
Yeah.
And then he would sniffle a little bit and wipe his nose.
And his nose was all red.
And I'm like, oh, geez, how can you do this? So that was a little concerning. But to me, I think this is a big fight for Johnny Hendricks. This fight, and he even addressed it. You know, this fight reeks to me of a fight where the UFC is like, you know, Johnny, we're kind of getting tired of dealing with you.
You know what I'm saying?
We're going to put you up against this
like,
young
Johnny,
stud.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
We're going to put you up against this guy and sink or swim, little fishy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel, like as you said, the
and
size
of And he seemed
like
he realized
jarring.
It, too, because he was like, you know, I don't know if this is a fight they're bringing him in to get rid of me, to beat me and send me out. I don't know if it's a fight they're bringing me in to send this prospect out or whatever. So I think he's definitely agrees that there are some, you know, some questions about the matchup. But also, you know, he realizes also, too, that he can't keep going the same way that he's doing. You know, if there's ever going to be a chance to return to that championship form and hope that that's a possibility again at someday, it's got to begin now or it's going to be done. You know, he could be the next dude we see over in Bellator.
It's true.
You know,
they'd love to have him. That's a recognizable name.
They would eat it up.
Mm. That'd be a good – might not be a bad fit for him, man. At middleweight,
he's not doing so well here. I mean,
at middle, I
like the guy.
Oh,
I love
him.
I mean, he's great interviews, but I mean, yeah, I mean, depending on the outcome of this, if he did suffer something like a devastating loss, I mean, granted, I mean,
you know, the great thing about this sport is though, he could literally just go lay Borrachinha out with a big left hand. Now we're like, Johnny Hendricks is back.
He's back.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. That's what's so awesome about this sport. All right,
crazy.
Prelims. The main card is stacked. The prelims, James Vick versus Joe Duffy. That is a sick fight. Easy fight of the night candidate right there. Walt Harris versus Mark Godbeer. Love to see that they got rebooked. Mark Godbeer was funny. Went and talked to him, and you know, he's like, I basically willed this into existence. Of course, he got the fight taken away from him in Vegas, and he's like, you know, sure would like to fight in New York. I've always wanted to go to New York, and basically got his himself put on the card. I love that. Well, Vince St. Preux versus Corey Anderson. Got to love OSP stepping into this fight. Meaningful fight here all of a sudden at 205 pounds. And then, of course, to me, another fight that I love, Randy Brown versus Mickey Gall. Two prospects, but you know, two guys, again, to me, it shows the importance of the shoulder program that the UFC does, you know, looking for a fight. You know, whether it be the Ultimate Fighter, whether it be looking for a fight, you know, just having a tie to somebody, you know, like having a vested interest in somebody. I don't know. There's something to that. Alexi Olenek versus Curtis Blaydes on the Fight Pass early prelims. I like Curtis Blaydes a lot. He seems like somebody that is a bit of an up-and-comer, but Alexi Olenek, dangerous. Dude looks like the least athletic, least intimidating, most ridiculous fighter ever. Then he goes in there, wraps his arms around your neck, and he finds a way to put you out. He's a dangerous dude. Ian Kudalaba. How about Ian Kudalaba at the media day when they did the face-offs, and he just kind of leans over and starts whispering something, and
Olashenja.
Just like I was going to say it.
In some country.
Thank God we got Darius here. Yeah, a newcomer stepping in.
Say it one more time.
Oleg Shevchuk. Yeah. Oleg Shevchuk.
Sounded exactly like
that's
what you
said. That's what I
was
going to say. Yeah. Oleg Shevchuk. But no, I love Ian Kudalaba. Now, again, I don't know if someone from the Republic of Moldova and Poland would actually be able to communicate with each other very well, but he was whispering something in his ear. I like Kudalaba, man. He's definitely, you know, he takes risks. He's dangerous. The big question, will he paint himself green like the Hulk? I guess we'll find out in the morning.
Always funner when he does.
It is fun. And then, of course, Zahabi versus Ramos in the opening fight of the night. Ricardo Ramos is coming with some hype. Some of the people down in Brazil say this kid might have a little something special. And Zahabi, obviously, the family name there.
Ramos?
A lot to live up. Well, yes, Ricardo Ramos.
Ricardo Ramos.
Anyway, good card. I love this card. Top to bottom, it's going to be a lot of fun. The thing that's not a lot of fun is that you and I need to be awake in a couple of hours to go to the weigh-ins. But that's how we do.
That's how we do. Edited and some other things edited. And
that's it. Do you want to tell them who the cover athlete will be? I mean, they'd have to listen all the way to the end. No, well, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Go to Freshly. Go to Freshly.
Go to Freshly.
Go to Freshly. And put in the roadshow, the code roadshow.
Roadshow.
The roadshow. And you get
you, $20
off. $20
off
your first two
for
orders.
A total of $40 off.
You'd be like the champ.
You'd be the champ of my heart.
You'd get you get 2 weeks off, so you'd be the champ.
Is that what it is? To be the champ?
I mean,
that's all
you
it takes?
Get two orders off of two. I was trying to tie two things together. Anyway, we're going to get this edited, go to bed, see you in a couple hours.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.